again.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this Easter Sunday. I'm so happy to see all of you here today. The only announcement that I have is that there will be a congregational meeting next Sunday after worship. We'll be going over the audits and membership. Okay. So with that, let's get right to worshiping God on this beautiful day. Let's gather together for our call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The longest night is over. Death has lost its sting. Jesus is among us. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia. Again and again and again. Alleluia. Amen. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Christ is the love of God made flesh, the love that even death could not destroy. There is no fear in love, for fear has to do with punishment. But perfect love casts out perfect fear. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins. Living God, your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us how to love you, one another, and ourselves. We confess that we have failed to embody such love. We turn away from you, failing to love and serve you with heart and mind and soul and strength. We turn away from others who are poor and oppressed, are different from us, or do not share our views. We turn away from ourselves, even though you made us in your image and have claimed us in Christ as your own beloved children. Merciful God, forgive us for not loving you, others, and ourselves. Soften our hearts of stone and transform us into living signs of your love in the world. In the name of the risen Lord. Amen. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because God first loved us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Rejoice!
Amen. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of resurrection, of new life, of new beginnings, we stand before the empty tomb full of terror and amazement. Like the scripture describes the woman who first discovered this miracle, we are amazed, Holy God, by your power, by your love, by the grace that you extend to us and our world, even when we are undeserving. On this Easter Sunday, we bow before you in prayer, lifting our petitions for those who suffer and struggle and are searching for the strength, guidance, and hope we need to serve as your faithful disciples. In your mercy, risen Savior, hear our prayers. Our terror is real and debilitating, God. We fear for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for our world. Evil has gained traction, convincing many that violence and war, death and destruction are acceptable means to human ends. Forgive us, God. Turn our hearts towards what is holy and right. Turn our faces toward your risen Son, whose light graces us with peace, love, and divine wisdom. On this Easter morning, let us recommit ourselves to Christ's path of peace and the road of Christian discipleship. This road is difficult and most challenging, but this road also leads to new and renewed life. Savior, hear our prayers that all who are struggling know your resurrection hope. We pray for those struggling under the weight of despair. We pray for those who feel trapped and victimized. We pray for those who lack necessary resources for survival. We pray for those who are exhausted and overwhelmed. We pray for those who are traumatized or depressed. We pray for those who are unsafe and without a place or a people to call home. We pray for the sick, the grieving, the loved ones we know are struggling. God of hope, hear our prayers as well as those that we name silently now before you. Strong God, we praise you as the one who rolls stones away from empty tombs and as the one who opens minds and softens hearts. We stand in awe of your power on this Easter Sunday. We celebrate your risen Son. As the flowers bloom this spring and the butterflies emerge from their cocoons, we cannot help but hope in your everlasting love, our strong foundation that grounds us even as the world around us shakes. God, hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, Christ is Alive, number 246, verses 1 and 5.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The stone has been rolled away and Christ is loose in the world. Bring your best gifts today and join in the work that he's doing. God of the empty tomb, your grace astounds us. Your generosity fills us to overflowing. Accept these offerings as a sign of our gratitude and bless our work on Christ's behalf. May we love as Christ loved. May we serve as Christ served. Call us forth into your world, guided by Christ's Spirit. Amen.
Happy Easter. And here's why. A reading from Mark chapter 16, the first 8 verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Please pray with me. Risen God, lean down and breathe life into these sacred texts. Open to us the wisdom of your word today and enlighten us with your truth. Liberate us from all that distracts us and turns us from your path. Guide us and ground us in Christ's everlasting hope. Amen. He is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen, but God did not think that it was important to make sure that I rose this morning. I do wonder if As Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome were walking to the tomb that morning, they were walking before dawn, and I wonder if they even noticed the sunrise. Obviously, I don't get to see very many sunrises. I'm much more of a night owl. If I do see the sunrise, it is because I have stayed awake that whole time. I am not about to set an alarm to wake up before the sun rises. So usually I just sleep right through the sunrise, and it just sort of happens. And even if you are the type of person who wakes up when it's still dark 30 outside, I'd hazard to guess that unless it's a very spectacular show of light and color, you don't pay a whole lot of attention to the rising sun every day. It's something that we have just come to expect. It just happens. So unless we're intentional about it, the things that we experience again and again and again, they don't really tend to stand out at us. Kind of like my phrase, again and again, that we've been using throughout Lent. Whether we're paying attention or not doesn't make the sunrise any less beautiful or awesome or miraculous. I had to look into, like, okay, what does it take for a sunrise? Like in physics and astronomy, it's mind-boggling what it takes for the sun to rise on us every single day. The Earth spinning 1,000 miles an hour. It travels in orbit 584 million miles along, and it goes around a star that is 1 million times bigger than our planet. Everything has to work in just the right order for us to see the sunrise every single day, and yet it just happens again and again. I'd venture to say that Easter is almost as familiar to us as a sunrise. We know the story. I think most of us here have heard this story every single year since we were children. Easter happens whether we observe it or not. Yes, this is a special day in the church year. I'd argue it is the most special day in the church calendar. But in many ways, today is also like every other day. The sun rose in the eastern sky. Alarm clocks beeped. Some of us ignored it. Covers were removed, coffee and tea were brewed, our weary bodies came alive as we brushed our teeth and showered. However, for those of us who've been sitting in the tension of this past week, we experience this day a little differently. We've all intentionally gathered here this morning because we know that when we come together as a practice, it helps us name the important things that we might otherwise just let pass by. Now, each gospel writer has different ways to describe what happened on Easter morning. On this amazing day when what was expected to happen didn't happen. When that thing that is happens again and again and again, that didn't happen. When God does a new thing, Mark's account is abrupt. The woman head out, grieving and focused, to tend to the body of their friend and teacher who had just been murdered by the state. They talked about the logistics of moving stones from the tomb. And as they walked, the sun just barely peeking up over the horizon, when they arrived, that stone has already been moved away from the entrance. There's a young man there, weirdo. The young man there is telling them, "Don't be alarmed." What? He assures the women that they are in the right place. But Jesus isn't there. Jesus has been raised. Go and tell the others that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. Mark's gospel ends with, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." That's it. Mark leaves us hanging there. It's such a sudden ending that followers added endings to Mark's gospel. When you get home, open up your Bibles to Mark 16, and you will see that there are two alternate endings to the book of Mark. They're going to be set apart in brackets. That's how unsatisfying the original ending is. People decided to finish it for him. Mark doesn't tell us what happened to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. He doesn't tell us what happened to the other disciples. There's no post-resurrection encounters. There's no meetings on the road, in the garden, or at the dinner table. No resolution, no closure, no explanation of the mystery. He does tell us, however, what happened to Jesus. Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. He's not here. He's gone ahead of you. You'll see him just as he told you you would. I'm sure for many of you, just like some of the followers of Mark later on, this probably isn't a very satisfying ending for you either. But I have to say, personally, I welcome this ending more than the other Gospels. And I definitely prefer this ending to the other added endings. I think what I really like here is that Mark leaves room for us to imagine the reunion for ourselves. He allows us to consider what that meeting might look like for us and allows us to contemplate our responses. I also really appreciate that Mark doesn't make us come to Easter full of joy and exuberance, especially after sitting through the uncertainty of Holy Week or whatever else might be happening in your lives. Mark doesn't expect us to immediately turn off the grief and sadness of last week and pump up the joy and the celebration. The woman didn't go to the tomb expecting or even looking for hope. They were looking for a place to grieve. They wanted to be left alone with their despair and to care for the body of their friend. Yet what they found when they got there was continuous forgiveness and infinite love, even if they didn't quite understand it yet. And Mark lets us linger in that untidy space. Mark also doesn't make us feel like we have to instantly believe this, let's be honest, entirely unbelievable and inexplicable thing that has just happened. He reminds us that resurrection happens before we have all of the answers, before we even recognize the risen Christ, before he greets us, before he offers comfort and peace. Here's the thing. Mark writes, knowing that his readers and us are well aware of how the story unfolds. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome eventually find their courage and voice. Peter and the disciples did see the risen Lord, and their encounter with him becomes the bedrock of the apostolic proclamation of the gospel that resounded throughout the Roman Empire and is still with us today. The story doesn't end with terror and silence. The story is still unfolding through us today. With Mark's abrupt ending, Mark has brought us, all of us, into the center of Christ's resurrection. We stand with the woman at the empty tomb, face to face with Jesus' resurrection. And we're told Jesus is not in the tomb. Rather, he's out there, out serving and ministering and loving people that know, that need to know that they are loved. And alongside the women, we are also invited to join Jesus in this serving, ministering, and loving people. I'll be perfectly honest. It's hard work. We all face complicated and overwhelming problems that are born of this world. The woman at the empty tomb had reason to be afraid of the young man's instructions. However, if we believe in the resurrection, if we really believe in the resurrection, we must believe it in the very core of our being. This isn't something that we can just put a checkbox in next to a questionnaire in a questionnaire about our beliefs. If we really believe that Jesus rose from the grave, then that belief should transform our everyday lives. Who we are and what we do is forever changed by the resurrection. So Mark leaves his gospel incomplete, as if to ask us today, hey, did you find him? While you were out there carrying his love and forgiveness and hope out into the world, did you see Jesus beside you? If you did, that's Easter. That's resurrection. That is the sunrise of a new day. Again and again, the sun rises, whether we're ready for it, acknowledge it, or see it. God is literally and figuratively turning the world around. May we be reminded each day that the sun rises, that Easter comes to us again and again, even if we don't entirely know what to make of God's resurrecting ways. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Please rise for our closing hymn. Alleluia, alleluia, hearts to heaven. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. As you leave this space, may your mouth speak of God's goodness. May your arms hold those in need. May your feet walk towards justice. May your heart trust its worth. May your soul dance in God's grace. And may this be your rhythm again and again and again, until God's promised day. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go with courage, go with heart, and go in peace. Amen.